Hello, LifeBridge family. Hope all of you are doing well. Social distancing is in full swing. We are now in week two of this online thing. Life is certainly, it seems, moving into a new normal that is anything but normal. It's a normal that involves telling my teenager half a dozen times a day, no, you can't go hang out with friends. It's a new normal that excludes us from going out to eat at our favorite restaurants. It has definitely altered our life, but it seems as though 10 days into this thing that there's a new normal starting to form. There's still a lot of uncertainty, though. There's still a lot of concern. And I just want you to know that I am praying Romans 15:13 over our entire church family on a daily basis. And Paul writes in the 15th chapter, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." And church, I'm just praying that during this time, there's uncertainty. People are worried about their health. People are worried about their jobs. I am praying that through believing in God, no matter what our circumstances are, that you will be filled with all joy and all peace. So we're starting a new series today called God Is. And what we are doing the next few weeks is looking at the attributes of God so that we can know Him better, trust Him more, and become more like Him. Ephesians 4:24 is one of my favorite verses now. It says, "Put on the new nature of God, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." And I love how Paul just puts it out there. And he puts it out there in a couple of places. He puts it out there in Romans, in Philippians, in Colossians, that we are created to be like Him. Now, we don't start out like Him. We have sin in our life, and we've got to be completely redeemed. We've got to be reconciled back to Him. But we are, as new creations, we are created to be like Him. And that's what this faith journey is all about. And so if I'm created to be like God, and I need to become like Him, I need to know what that looks like. And so we are going to be looking at the attributes of God, the characteristics of God that we can actually take on into who we are. And so you guys know my story. The past few months, bought a house, and I've spent a lot of time. I'm almost embarrassed to say how much time I have spent in Home Depot, the past few months. And Home Depot's marketing, it's genius. It gives guys like me confidence in my feeble skills and abilities. It gives me confidence in what I am able to do. And their marketing slogan is this: "You can do it, and we can help." You're patching sheetrock? You can do that. We can help. You're plumbing a bathroom? You can do it. We can help. Installing a new closet? You can do it. We can help. Installing new lights? You get it. You can do it. We can help. And they put this everywhere, from the receipt to the parking lot. When you walk in the store, it's in different places. They want you to know that you can do the job, and they're there to help. Now, they don't really care about you being able to do the job. They're just trying to sell their product and getting their product out the door into your home. And if you're like me, you make a lot of trips back to Home Depot because you couldn't do it right the first time. You couldn't do it right the second time, or maybe even the third time. And what I've confirmed through all the projects that we've done the past few months, that even in spite of what Home Depot says, I still have many needs in the world of carpentry. Maybe your carpentry skills are better than mine, and I'm sure they are. But we all share this same truth. We all have needs. We're all lacking. We are all insufficient in certain areas. And here's the truth about God. God assures us that He is not lacking. God does not have any needs. I mean, you think about it. We have needs every single day. Not just wants, not just desires, but we have needs. We have to have food. We have to have oxygen to breathe. We have to have water. We have to have these things. God needs nothing. Look at this example. I found this, and I was reminded of this in doing some studying for this passage. Moses is in the desert. He's been in the desert for 40 years. He's fled Egypt, and he's on the run. He's now a shepherd. He's out by himself, and he's in the desert. He sees something amazing. Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 say this. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. So God wanted to get Moses' attention. Right, Moses is out doing his job. He's doing his thing. God wanted to get Moses' attention. So to do this, he used fire, which we're all familiar with, and he used a bush, obviously what we are also familiar with. This bush that Moses saw, it was engulfed in flames, but yet it wasn't on fire. God didn't even need fuel for fire to have fire. I mean, think about it. The way fire works is that there's a chemical reaction between oxygen and some type of fuel, whether it's gasoline, kerosene, wood, paper, whatever the case may be. There has to be some type of fuel. There has to be oxygen. If you remove either one of those, the fire, the flame, it goes away. And yet God did not need anything. He allowed this bush to be completely engulfed in flames, and yet there was no fuel. The bush itself was not on fire. The bush itself was not creating, was not part of this chemical reaction. God does not need anything. So one of the attributes that we are going to look at, one of the attributes of God, is that He is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. Now, we're trying to become like God, and I'll go ahead and tell you this. We will always be lacking. While we are on this earth, Paul talks about that. We will not be made complete until we are in the presence of the Lord, the physical presence of the Lord. We will always be lacking. But here's why I want us to start this series out with knowing that we worship a self-sufficient God. It is because He lacks nothing, and because He lacks nothing, He is able to provide for us. So not only does God not have any needs, because He is self-sufficient, He is capable of fulfilling all our needs. And that's what you and I need to understand today as we are studying the attributes of God, that He is able to fulfill all our needs. He's not going to run out. Look at what's happening in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. Paul is on a mission trip, and he comes into this temple, and he's talking about this unknown God. He is the God who made the world and everything in it, he says. Since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and He satisfies every need. See, He Himself has no needs, but He satisfies every need. And so for the next few minutes, I do want to talk about some of the needs that you and I have and why it's so important for us to keep God in front of us. Our first need is that we need a Savior. Because of our sin, we are separate from God. We are separate from heaven. We are separate from eternity with Him. The only thing that would resolve this conflict is someone to pay the debt of our sins in God's economy. We desperately need a Savior. And so Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13, in those days you were living apart from God. You were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ Jesus. Think about this, guys. It says right here in this passage that we're separated. We're apart from Him. We have no hope, but God says, you people whom I love so much, well, even though while you were in sin, I'm going to provide you this opportunity. I'm going to provide you a sacrifice, and it comes in the form of my Son, who is going to be the Savior of the world, because I love you, because there's nothing that you can do about the fact that you have sin in your life. God loves you so much that He was willing for His Son, and His Son was willing to die for you to meet this need in your life. The second need that we have, we need relationship with others. I feel for the people right now who are by themselves, those who are in lockdown, those who are separate, because we can't get out. With this new normal that we are living in this season of life, we're separate from people. And I get it. I'm there quite often myself. We look for times where we can be away, where we can have some alone time. And silence and solitude is a spiritual discipline that needs to be applied to our life. But the reality is, on the big picture of things, we need relationship with others. We need that interaction. As a matter of fact, it's relationship with others is how we actually learn to become like Jesus. God knew that man needed other human interaction. So the very first tension in the history of the world is actually back in the creation story. The very first tension happened as part of the creation story. Everything that God created was good. I mean, He's going through the days that we know. He's creating the light. He's creating the heavens. He's creating the water. He's creating the earth. He's taking form. He's creating vegetation. He's creating all of these things. And He gets to man, and He looks at man, and He says, "This is not good." Man being alone was the first thing in the history of our world that was not good. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." In church, you and I need to know that relationship is critical in God's economy. And so He saw this need in our life, and He provided. He took care of that. The third need and final need that I want to share with you today is we need purpose. I get it. We can continue to talk about other needs, but we just want to stop here because we need purpose. Psychology Today says the need for purpose is one of the defining characteristics of human beings. Human beings crave purpose and suffer serious psychological difficulties when we don't have it. Purpose is a fundamental component of a fulfilling life. God provides us with purpose. That purpose is having a life that is centered on God Himself. No matter what life looks like for you, no matter what your job is, no matter what your socioeconomic class is, no matter what your likes, your dislikes, your hobbies, your level of education, no matter any of that, we all have the same purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God in all that we do. That is our purpose. And so God provides for us the need we have to live for something bigger than ourselves. So many people, even Christians, miss this. You look throughout the history of the Bible, Paul said to the church at Corinth, anything from eating and drinking, all that you do, we are to glorify God with those actions. David wrote in Psalm 115, he says, "Because of God's steadfast love and His faithfulness, not just to him, but to the human race. His steadfast love, his continuing love, and his faithfulness to you and I, he is deserving of our glorification to him. We are to glorify him with all that we do. John records Jesus' final prayer in the garden. Jesus came and he took on the form of man. He walked on this earth with men and women, with people. He ministered to them. He lived with them. And he got to the end of his ministry and he says, "My work," he's speaking of his fleshly side of what he did here, "my work has brought you glory." We have this need for purpose, and God provides. Because God is self-sufficient, we can go to him to satisfy all our needs. And here's the cool thing about God. We never have to worry about the well drying up. We never have to worry about his goodness, his peace, his mercy, his grace, the things that really matter. We never have to worry about those things running out of supply. I'm received now my second email from Amazon saying that my toilet paper subscription that I've been a faithful member with Amazon for a couple of years now, I've now received my second email saying that I'm not going to get it this month either. They've run out. They cannot meet, as great a company as Amazon is, they cannot meet my needs. They are in short supply of things. And we get to come before God as his followers, and we get to live in a world knowing that because he is self-sufficient, he has no needs. And he's never going to run out of the things that we need. Look at the final passage, and we're about to wrap this up right here. It's Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 21. It's another prayer from Paul, and he says, "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." Unlimited resources. That's God. Unlimited. He's never going to run out. Verse 17 says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Church, knowing, not just saying it, not just acknowledging it, not just agreeing with it, but knowing, truly believing in a self-sufficient God allows us to trust him with our life, no matter what our circumstances are. Church, I hope you can find peace in this week. Praying for you.